This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Just a remarkably silly strategy costing the Yankees game two. They lose to the Rays 7-5 in San Diego. I can't figure it out. I've heard explanations, but it still makes absolutely no sense. What are we talking about? You know what we're talking about in all likelihood. The decision to start Davey Garcia as an opener, not a starting pitcher, and turn to Jay Happ in the second inning in a roll out of the bullpen. In so many ways, it was a massive mistake. First of all, let's hear the explanation from Aaron Boone, who is, of course, out there taking the bullets for the brain trust that got together with the dorks down in the basement in front of their computers trying to figure out exactly what is going to beat the Tampa Rays, no matter how ridiculous it is.
The roster's built to take advantage of the platoon advantage. You know, felt like, you know, I was going to go to Jay pretty early and aggressively, you know, as long as they went with the heavy lefty lineup, and that was the reason.
The Rays had five left-handed hitters in the lineup. So did we think all of a sudden that once they see Jay Happ come into the game in the second inning, that they are going to pull every one of them? That Kevin Cash is all of a sudden going to be making mass substitutions? Absolutely not. Ridiculous thought on their part, and it backfired on him. Happ came in. Of course, he's used to being a starting pitcher. He gives up four runs in two innings, and it basically was gone from that point. The Yankees cut it to a 5-4 game, but the Rays added some tack on later on. But the five runs given up in the first three innings, that was where the Yankees were done in for the night. And when Garcia's out there, you would think maybe, just maybe, he could do something that would convince him to go beyond an inning, right?
Kind of labored a little bit through that first inning. Is on the verge of getting out of it, though, with two strikes there with a Rosarena when he gets him, clips him. But no, that was the plan all along. We're going to go short with him, knowing we would have Davey available, you know, later in the series if need be, too.
Oh, well, that's great. You'll have him later in the series, and you're going to need him later in the series, as opposed to trying to go and get game two and just keep it as smart and simple a strategy as possible. And here's what's even more ridiculous about it. The Yankees went about all of their pitching decisions for this game based on a Rays offense that is average. Average. The Rays won 40 games this year because they pitched exceptionally well and because they did things in a little unorthodox fashion, but they were very smart in how they handled themselves. But their offense was 12th in Major League Baseball in runs scored. That's not an offense to be scared of, and that's not an offense to be changing your plans around pitching-wise. So Garcia goes in there as an opener, could have given you solid innings. Now you're saving him for later in the series. Maybe he starts game four. Maybe he comes out of the bullpen in game four. He says he could go in game three if he needed to. That's great. Then there's Jay Happ, who is making, in this case, just his second relief appearance in the last 5 years. The only other one that happened was at the end of 2019, when it didn't matter much. Happ, instead of starting the game, comes out of the bullpen. I don't know if you know this, but starting pitchers are creatures of habit, to say the least. And this guy has had absolutely no opportunity to be in any kind of rhythm all season and has still done a pretty damn good job for you, frankly. You put Jay Happ in a spot where he hadn't pitched in, what, nearly 8-9 days since September the 25th, and now instead of starting the game and mentally preparing himself as such and physically preparing himself as such, you're going to put him in a spot coming out of the bullpen and completely changing things up and jerked him around. There was no need for it. There was absolutely no need for it. It was an unnecessary risk on the Yankees' part, and they got bitten in the ass by it. Here's Boone on whether or not he felt like the situation that Hap was put in a regular one, would have affected him.
He's had some, you know, just based on the year and, you know, when we missed a few days with the COVID stuff, you know, it's been a season of, you know, he's pitched on 5 days, on 6 days, on 8 days, on 11 days. And for the most part, has done really, really well in whatever situation. You know, this is the nature now of the postseason, especially when you advance rounds and you don't get an opportunity to pitch. So, you know, I feel like it very easily could have been the other way for him as well.
Yeah, don't talk about the nature of the postseason here, because the guy has done everything you've needed him to do. Yes, he hasn't been happy about it a few times, and he has certainly made people aware that he hasn't been happy about it, primarily because of his contract and the possibility of investing for next year. Well, this guy went out and pitched tonight and gave up 2 runs in each inning and just never really got into any kind of a rhythm. So he was asked naturally after the game if he felt like he was put in a position to succeed.
It's not a question for me to answer. Again, when I'm out there, I'm trying to do the best I can. That's what I tried to do tonight.
Yeah, the answer is no. He was not put in a position to succeed. And then he was asked, of course, the obvious question. Wouldn't you have rather started the game?
All things equal, yes. Having said that, and this is important, I want to repeat, when I'm in there, you got 100% of me. So I gave it what I had. I wasn't worried about when I was coming in at the time. I was trying to focus and trying to execute and trying to pitch.
I just think it's so bizarre to think somehow the Rays were going to see Jay Happ trotting in from the bullpen and all of a sudden be like, holy crap. Oh, we're screwed. What are you kidding me? I mean, that is a complete and utter joke. It is mystifying how you could think that was the right way to go about it, because they're a team that was putting a bunch of lefties in the lineup. And maybe if you throw a lefty in there, who is not devastating against lefties, he's good. It's about the same against righties. That somehow they were going to be quaking in their boots and you're really throwing them off their game. Stop. Just stop. And it was an unfair situation to put Happ in. It was an unfair situation to put Garcia in. Here's a kid that came up, was as cool as a cucumber through his first few starts, and that's why you wanted to give him an opportunity in the postseason. And you were giving him a chance to maybe give you some length in a game two where he didn't have to win. But now, instead, you're hoping he's available in game four. You would think he would be. But are you going to start him in game four? Are you actually going to start Jordan Montgomery in game four? If you're starting Jordan Montgomery in game four, you have absolutely screwed yourself over. Congratulations. You played yourself. That's what it boils down to. And all because we want to turn to the analytics and all the dorks down in the basement.
Hey, nice. So the compression and expansion of the longitudinal waves caused the erratic oscillation, you can see it there, of the neighboring particles.
Yeah, and there was 5 runs on the board because of it. Wow. None of the explanations made any sense, and Aaron Boone was doing his best, but we all know that this was a much bigger decision than just a manager, because they all are these days. You want to turn to some positives about Giancarlo Stanton, who just continues to absolutely pummel the baseball.
1-1, and another fastball, and it's crushed. Stanton has hit it a mile to left field, way up beyond the second deck.
He'll need a rocket up his ass to catch this one. That baby is out of here.
Yeah, it was 458 feet, and that number was light. That was the second home run of the night for Stanton, who now has homered in four straight games, and he joins the likes of just Reggie Jackson and Lou Gehrig to do that in the postseason in New York Yankees history. For the first time as a Yankee, you have spent the majority of your time talking about Giancarlo Stanton in a very positive manner. It's not about injuries. He's been great. He's been everything they ever would have wanted him to be just during this little stretch. Hopefully you get to see more of this consistently, but you feel good for him because you do get the sense that this guy is somebody that busts his ass to try to make it happen. Couple of other things from the game. 18 strikeouts for the Yankees. A lot made of that. I got to tell you, doesn't bother me in the least. Okay, it's a record. Big deal. Tyler Glasnow strikes out a ton of guys. The Yankees are a team that from time to time is going to strike out a lot. One thing I didn't like is Tuesday night, they got back to swinging at a lot of pitches that maybe they shouldn't be. But I actually credit Glasnow with that more than anything. Also, the Rays bullpen. I mean, when you get DJ LeMahieu swinging at pitches in the dirt, you're obviously doing a lot of things right. But the 18 strikeouts overall, it doesn't bother me. They put five runs up on the board, and when you score five runs, you should have a chance to win against the Rays. This was just one of those nights where you didn't. So I don't get too bent out of shape by that. Aaron Judge was 0 for 5 with 3 of those strikeouts. Again, not going to get too bent out of shape about that. The guy has homered twice in the postseason. Now, there is somebody to be alarmed by. And unfortunately, it's a familiar name. And that's Gary Sanchez. In the 7th inning and in the 9th inning, Gary Sanchez was trying to win the entire series in a game that wasn't even an elimination game. He was taking wild hacks at fastballs that he did not have a prayer of catching up to. And right now, it doesn't look like that's going to be changing anytime soon. You see the flash every once in a while, but it's not nearly enough. I still expect that they will turn to Sanchez with Tanaka on the mound because they have worked together the most. But I'm not going to be surprised now moving forward if you do see more of Higashioka outside of the Gerrit Cole starts. Because if he's not killing you offensively, he's actually helping you a little bit, and he's calling games as well as he does, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. I hear a lot about Sanchez pitch framing. I hear a lot about Sanchez calling games. Okay, that's all great stuff. Play that up for when you're trying to trade him in the offseason. Right now, it's not enough to help the Yankees win games in the playoffs, and that's all that matters. One other positive, if you want to call it this, while the Yankees didn't do too much damage against the Rays bullpen until they got to Fairbanks late, who couldn't throw it in the same zip code of San Diego, they did get to see the high leverage relievers, Castillo, Anderson, and they did get to force them to work quite a bit. When you're getting those guys to have to work four innings between the three of them, that's a decent size workload. Maybe that will limit them at some point later in the series because you assume you're going to see them at least once or twice more as we move forward here. So there will definitively be a Game 4 on Thursday. As far as Game 3, later on today, it's Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees, and it is Charlie Morton for the Rays. Morton has been a pretty good postseason pitcher before in his career, but as we have seen, that hasn't necessarily mattered this postseason. The Yankees have been able to do some damage, even against Glasnow, just 5 innings, 4 runs. I mean, that's nothing special to write home about. So from that standpoint, you don't really worry about who's getting thrown at you in these playoffs anymore. And that's an important mental advantage that the Yankees have. They now know that their great hitting can beat up on great pitching. We've talked about that quite a bit yesterday. That is something that will matter for them here moving forward. One last observation. One guy they're going to have to be very careful with here is Jonathan Loaisiga. I don't know that that's a direction you want to go in any high leverage situations here moving forward. You've done it a couple of times, and it hasn't exactly worked out. Now, Ottavino wasn't great, but you saw some life in there. You saw an opportunity to be able to use him in another big spot, I think. I think with Loaisiga, you at this point have pretty much taken the chances that you can with him, and you'll go elsewhere. Maybe you go to Jonathan Holder, who gave the Yankees a scoreless inning. Who knows? But overall, with the series tied at one, it was highly avoidable. And that's what's frustrating, because that was a loss that was squarely on the manager in the front office. And I'll put the majority of it on the front office. We all know the way things work these days and how these decisions are made with all the numbers in mind. And that's what this boiled down to. And it was a horrific mistake on the Yankees' part. If you're trying to outsmart everybody, more often than not, you end up getting in your own way. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. We will see you tomorrow. Same time, same spot. We will have a post game later on tonight after the Yankee game, since it is a 7 o'clock start on 98.7 ESPN. So no pregame, but we will have a post game that will take us right up until midnight. And of course, we'll have the podcast tomorrow morning. All right, Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.